This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Update from One Bills Drive. It is day two of the Bills minicamp. The mandatory minicamp underway outside here at One Bills Drive. And the Bills, we'll talk about today's session afterwards today. Josh Allen going to meet with the media. We'll have offensive line coach Bobby Johnson here on the show after practice today. The Oakland Raiders are this year's Hard Knocks team. What is supposed to be their final training camp as the Oakland Raiders before they move to Las Vegas will be documented by the HBO crew Hard Knocks this August. Owner Mark Davis and coach John Gruden have aired their displeasure at cameras peering into their privacy, but both have resigned themselves to say that the Raiders are the right team to host Hard Knocks. Hockey tonight, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, 8 o'clock faceoff in Boston. The St. Louis Blues and the Boston Bruins playing for the Stanley Cup. Bruins defenseman Matt Grelchick has been medically cleared from a concussion and is likely to play tonight, a game-time decision, according to Bruins coach Bruce Cassidy. Cassidy said rookie Connor Clifton will probably be bumped from the lineup if Grelchick goes in tonight against the St. Louis Blues. One more night before the NBA Finals resume, Game 6 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night, Toronto at Golden State. That's a 9 o'clock tip-off on ABC tomorrow night. Warriors star forward Kevin Durant is in New York City undergoing an MRI on his injured Achilles. League sources say the team believes the MRI will confirm an Achilles tear that Durant suffered in the second quarter of the Golden State win over Toronto on Monday. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker, our number two, as the Bills continue their practice outside on the grass practice field, and we're joined in studio by one of our favorite guests from the NFL Network. Happy to have Kim Jones in studio with us. Kim, welcome. It's good
to
see you.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
You need a retractable roof today. It's so nice here.
Right? I know. It's
the
Chamber of Commerce
the
day.
The sun looks great. Very the blue nice. Sky. Yeah. I love it.
And this is unusual for us this time of year. It's been a rough spring.
Oh, spring's been a disaster in New Jersey.
Yeah.
So,
oh, well, that's good. I'm glad we're not alone.
No, you are not alone.
Yeah. What'd you think? What's practice look like to you? Nice atmosphere out there?
It looks like. I mean, I was just saying to you, Steve. I mean, Tremaine Edmonds, clearly, he's a young player, as we know. He came here at, 19?
Yeah.
He was at the combine
at
19.
Yeah.
He, I got to fix my hair from the wind. he looks bigger to me, and I've got to imagine he'll be one of these many players who benefit from being second year, not first anymore. So he's the first one that caught my attention. His wingspan is NBA-ish. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah. He's freakishly big.
Yes.
And he's you're right. He's 9 feet tall, looks like.
Yes.
And he got better as last year went on, and you think, okay, if he's going to keep progressing. But it's him, and the whole team revolves around offense, defense. It's Tremaine Edmonds on offense, and, of course, Josh.
Yep.
Tremaine Edmonds on defense and Josh on offense. And kind of those are the linchpins. Do you think they can continue to improve both sides of that?
I don't know why not. I mean, quarterbacks, you know, it's almost cliche that they make such a big jump year one to year two, but they certainly should and will. And I bet all of them in that class, to some degree, will be a better NFL person and player than he was last year.
Steve and I talk a lot about, and of course we're here, we're embedded here into the Bills culture, but we, I think, have a higher regard for Josh and his potential than many people outside.
Yeah.
I mean, we see every play, we see many practices. Are we right about that, wrong about that? Are we too optimistic about what Josh might become?
Well, I don't know what any of them can become. At the combine this year, guys, I was talking to, talent evaluators about the quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah.
And a couple of them said to me, we don't know what the quarterbacks in last year's draft are yet, let alone what the ones coming in. And someone said to me, I think Josh Allen's going to be the best of the group by the end of it. You know, so there are opinions that are very high on Josh and probably high on some of the other quarterbacks.
Well, can I just say, I have a theory that Josh was like a polarizing figure in the draft in 2018. And all of those who said he's not a first rounder, don't draft him. I think those people, in essence, almost hold a grudge. They can't believe that he did what he did last year, and could be eventually be a good player.
Well, and I think it's because he ran so much.
Yeah.
So I think we tend to like almost knock a quarterback for that because it's always quote unquote out of necessity, or out of some sort of a desperation feel by the quarterback, which you guys would know better than anyone. It wasn't always those things, but I think him running less often this year would be a plus, though. I think he's going to get more help in the backfield.
Yep.
And, you know, sounds like he has more help up front.
Yeah, speaking of help, he is – it's the second year in the same system. And you look at all the other guys that were drafted, every single one of them is now new offensive coordinator, new head coach, all of that. Sam Darnold, you cover the Jets extensively. We'll
second
get to
offense.
Them in a minute. Yep. But that could be – aside from the strides that he made last year, could be the best thing for him is the continuity.
I was just having that conversation with a Bills person as we were watching practice, that he gets a second year in the same offense, and that's big.
Yeah. What do you think of the additions the Bills have made? Cole Beasley and John Brown and the offensive line revamp. What do you think? Obviously, we don't know, but it's pretty significant and aggressive move by the Buffalo Bills to add all these people.
Yeah, and we've seen teams be aggressive with the O-lines in particular, right? We've seen teams tear them down. We've seen teams give up on what were bad signings anyway, and they give up on them and they move on. So it doesn't surprise me that a Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, and by the way, Kim and Terry Pegula, Buffalo Bills organization would be aggressive with that stuff. Doesn't surprise me at all. Cole Beasley was always someone that, listen, the Giants are happy he's out of the NFC East. Let's put it that way. Yeah. He was always a safety valve in Dallas, and I have to believe he'll be that for Josh. John Brown, I remember Bruce Arians loving John Brown when he had him. I don't know what it'll be now, but I do a radio show in New York, and someone called, and I had mentioned on the air this past weekend that I was going to be in Buffalo, and someone called in and said, watch David Sills. He's going to make that team. Yeah. And, you know, there are so many receivers here who do have a chance.
Sure,
so,
he's got a chance.
Yeah.
That's one of the things we've got out. We have a Twitter question or Twitter poll every day, and one of the things, there's so many new faces. In fact, our own guy, Chris Brown, said in opening day, there may be 50% of this roster new, which is unbelievable in the third year of a regime.
Yes.
They keep churning it over. But our question today is, who's the most, which new face are you most excited to see?
Right.
And I know you're not in depth as we are, but what do you think?
I'd say the center.
I mean, I am so glad you said that.
Why? Excited about, you get excited about watching the center?
Vindication right there.
You get excited about watching centers?
I'm excited to watch Josh Allen, and I think the center helps him as much as anyone.
He does help. He will help. I'm not excited. I hope we
good
never
for
notice
you.
The center.
You are
I hope he blocks
guest.
And the snaps come back there on time. And
absolutely
no
favorite guest of all time.
but listen, I'm also excited to see Frank Gore. I love the potential of Shady and Frank Gore. Who knows what ends up happening, but it certainly seems like this organization's open to both of them being on the roster and both of them being contributors and being competitive for carries, as we know they will be, because they are NFL players who have had great careers, more than 25,000 rush yards between them. I love it, and I'm looking forward. I think I'm interviewing both of them together today, by the way, which makes me really excited, and I'm getting Josh by himself, which I'm really excited about. But, Frank Gore would be an easy answer, too, by the way.
What did you see? Because I watched him last year a little bit in Miami, and Adam Gase said, listen, I brought him in to Miami because he's that guy. He's a lead dog, and he's an example setter, and he's a culture change guy, and I brought him in. And then all of a sudden it turns in, he's the guy down there. So, but, man, 36-year-old guy.
I mean, know. Well, neither one of those two, LeSean or Frank, got the memo about 30-year-old running back, so that's for sure. I bet LeSean, and I'll ask him this, I bet he's a little bit energized by this.
Sure.
It's only natural that he would be, and I'm sure the two have great mutual respect for each other. But what did you ask me that I was going to get to, though, that I interrupted myself?
About Frank Gore about being 36 years old?
Being 36.
The lead dog.
And the
guy.
Lead. Oh, about what we saw. Well, I'll tell you what, a play he made for the Dolphins last year against the Jets was a shoe top catch. It ended up being a huge 19-yard gain, and they ended up beating the Jets that day on MetLife Stadium. So he can go out and run a pattern for you, too. Yeah.
With Kim Jones from NFL Network, she also hosts radio. So what, weekends only on FAN?
And some weekdays. It's when I can. When they ask and when I can.
You like radio,
how's that?
Don't you?
I love radio.
Yeah.
I love it.
You spent a lot of time around the Jets. When did Adam Gase become the quarterback whisperer that many people attribute to him?
Yeah.
You happen to work with Peyton Manning. Okay.
Right, and a lot of people claim Peyton, and it's hard to give a lot of people other than maybe Archie a lot of credit for Peyton, right?
And Peyton, you know. That's a good point.
But, I do think that he recognizes what a lot of people do in Sam Darnold, and that's someone who can move. He processes things relatively quickly. He throws a nice ball. He has a lot of potential. He is now learning an offense, though, that I've said on air, both on radio and on NFL Network, I think it's going to take through August for him to learn this offense. And sure. I don't think Gase would argue with that. I mean, he now has an enormous learning curve ahead of him. And going against the Greg Williams defense in the practices and minicamps I've seen, you know, aren't making it easy on him. So I it's going to be interesting to see Sam's development. He had come a long way last year when he came back after that injury. Josh McCown, who's not with the Jets, at least not right now, was vital in his development last year. Again, he's gone. So it's going to be interesting to see Sam and what the second-year guys will all be fascinating to me. Yeah. Let's put it that way. And that obviously includes Sam Darnold.
Murph and I, and we're, you know, obviously we're no Jets fans,
right.
But both he and I really like Sam Darnold. Yep. I mean, there's a lot to like mm-hmm. about him and a lot to like about Josh Rosen, a lot to like about Baker Mayfield. I thought it was. It's got a chance to be a very, very productive and good quarterback class, top to bottom. And of course, Lamar Jackson in Baltimore.
Right. Well, they're building around him.
Bit,
they're changing a lot of things.
That's a paradigm shift.
Yes.
You think that's going to work?
I don't know if it's going to work. You know, they drafted Trace McSorley, my guy out of Penn State, and he works in that system. I mean, it seems to be. And I'm not around the Ravens. It's been years since I've been around the Ravens at all, just coincidentally. But that seems to be an incredible shift
right.
that John Harbaugh
Something
has made.
Different.
I give John Harbaugh credit because he could have said, this isn't for me. You know, and it's not like he would have been without a job.
Right.
So he committed to this, and it is an enormous shift for the Ravens.
It's the quintessential, listen, we're going to let our players do what they do best.
Yes. We're going to coach the players
position,
we have. We're not going to fit them into
really
the offense
and,
we
and,
run.
Yep. Unlike you, we're far a distance away from Baltimore, right. But from the outside looking in, it's like, wow, what a gamble.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
I agree.
With the Jets, is it all good now with Le'Veon Bell, now that he's back? And
yeah, you know what? Listen, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. is someone I covered for a long time and will remain friendly with for a long, long time. He doesn't go either, you know, for the most part. I just never think that's a big deal because if it's a big deal, then you got to give up something in the CBA to get mandatory. Right. And the owners haven't done it. So if the owners aren't doing it, and I know the coaches hate it when players are away, I'm not fighting that battle for them. Sorry. So I don't even like to report on whether guys are there when it's voluntary.
I got you.
And I'd love to see in my profession how many media people would show up if you said that something's completely voluntary, doesn't affect your job status at all, and takes you away, you know, from other things that
from
either vacations or, you know, in some cases other things that you want to do professionally to get better, because those players are training.
Right,
Le'Veon
sure.
Bell didn't go sit on a beach. You know, he looks good. He is, I will say, he is an effervescent personality. I did not know that about him. He came in. He did one-on-ones with all of us. We could ask him anything. I asked why he stayed away. I mean, it's fair to ask him that.
Sure.
You know, no question was too tough. And then he left after minicamp, and he's not there this week because they're back to OTAs.
Was his acquisition the primary source of the conflict between Maccagnan and Gase?
I think so, because of the money.
Yeah.
C.J. Mosley was not conflict. Adam Gase said they were going to do whatever they had to do to get C.J. Mosley. And he got paid a fortune as an inside linebacker. But he sees him, you mentioned culture-changing guys, a Frank Gore can be that. They believe Mosley can be that. So they've invested a lot of first-round picks on that defense, and they never could get it to work in recent years.
Yeah.
They believe Mosley is the piece that can.
And also in this GM switch to Joe Douglas, who we just found out is going to be it. There was a lot of other things that added up to, it wasn't just a conflict about Le'Veon Bell that added up to McCain. It was a lot of things along the line. At least it seemed like that coming out of the reporting.
I believe Christopher Johnson had made that decision even really going into the offseason. I believe he made it very early on in the offseason. But at some point you can't make that move, right? Before the draft and before free agency first and then the draft. So I do think the timing lent to the idea it was clumsier than I actually think it was.
Came up here in Buffalo. Bills fans would love it if you came on and told us how the Jets are in disarray.
I know.
They're dumpster fire.
I know
that,
they're going to bring Rex back it's going to be crazy time again.
We need them to be a mess.
Yeah, I hear you. I do think the division's really interesting, though.
I do, too.
Yeah. You know, I think you have ascending teams, ascending quarterbacks. You know, one really not ascending quarterback who just stays at the peak, as we all know, forever and ever.
From the top,
no,
right?
You can't. So I do think the division's really interesting, though.
It is too, because
especially with the Jets and Bills who meet week one. Yeah. I mean, week one we're going to get the very early litmus test: Darnold versus Allen year two. You know, Gase versus McDermott, what's that change going to be? Maybe right. more, in some ways, more accurately, Greg Williams versus yeah. McDermott. You know, we're going to see some things week one that are going to be really interesting. And not necessarily telling, but they could be.
Week 17, right? Which might mean something.
Oh, do that? Okay. Yeah. Well, that contrast will be good.
Up to this point, the last 18 months, it seems like they've been on parallel tracks
yeah.
looking for a quarterback,
agreed.
Both with a lot of cap money to spend in free agency, both on this trajectory. Mm-hmm. Now, the Bills had their head coach in place maybe, you know, obviously before the Jets
yes.
made the switch to Adam Gase.
Yes.
And now the general manager switched. So they've kind of, you know, now they've diverged a little bit
yes.
at this late point. But still, both teams have elevated expectations.
Oh, no doubt. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think both teams see, obviously, the end coming for the New England situation at some point.
Yeah.
But I think they see both teams probably should see Miami as vulnerable,
right?
You know, and that kind of thing. Both teams should go in. The Bills and Jets should go into those two head-to-head matchups believing they can win
right.
because they can. Both teams could win those games. And I think the one thing that you have here is the Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott. Looks like something that really is working and going to work.
Right.
And the Jets are now at the beginning of Gase Douglas.
Right.
You'd like to think the Bills might be a year ahead, even the quarterback,
they have to be.
Yeah.
Because, listen, Joe Douglas mentioned during his press conference that they've got the number 3 waiver claim. I told him afterwards in my one-on-one with him, I said, I've never heard, maybe because of time of year too, but
yeah.
I've never heard a GM at his opening press conference mention where he sits on
yeah.
the waiver claim wire, but he's going to use that. Because
right.
they need some help at some positions.
I know you said you haven't been around the Giants in a couple of weeks, but it seems like the firestorm about the quarterback draft pick has died down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's gotten rave reviews from the reporters right. who've been at mini camps and at the OTAs.
Right.
So that helps. They are also really making sure to get the message out to the Giants fan that this guy will be a worthy heir. They're talking about how he doesn't make the same mistake twice, which I
right.
can't possibly believe. As a rookie quarterback, that would be almost unheard of, but
yeah.
doesn't make the same mistake twice, fast learner, very athletic, makes every throw. So they are definitely sending the message that they really like him internally.
Yeah.
And he's gotten some good reviews from the media.
Well, they had also the thing going in where he and Eli had a previous relationship.
Not much, though.
Right? Oh,
yeah,
is that a little too much made out of that?
Yeah. I mean, Eli at one point was asked if he'd talked to David Cutcliffe during the process and was basically like, no. You know, like it wasn't some...
Right.
Great. I think when Eli had his receiver stuff at Duke, because he would take the receivers to Duke. He didn't do it this year, by the way. But when he would do that, Daniel Jones sat in like a time or two. So I think that was sort of the extent of it. And I believe
gotcha.
Daniel Jones has been to the Manning Passing Academy,
right.
as has probably every quarterback
right. I mean,
in the
it's
draft.
It's like everybody's ever taken a snap
right.
in the
Everyone
last 10 years,
Everyone who's ever
right?
been a college quarterback has been there.
It's true.
Kim Jones from NFL Network, and you said you got a one-on-two interview with the two running backs, right?
Yes, I think I'm getting Shady and Frank together, which makes me very
oh,
happy.
And then,
and I am getting Josh, apparently, which I'm very
Josh,
happy
what's
about that, too.
What's the first thing you're going to ask Shady and Gore?
I think I'm going to ask them about the 25,000 yards and not getting the memo that this isn't supposed to still be happening.
right,
Something
right.
along those lines. We'll
That's
see.
A good one.
Yeah. And are you live tonight on the network? Or?
No, those will be on tape.
But tonight's...
They should be on, yes.
Okay, we'll look
absolutely.
For it.
I hope so.
Look for it.
And they'll be on my Twitter account, too, Kim
okay.
Jones Sports.
Kim, thanks for this. Great
Thank
to see you,
you
as always.
Great to
thanks
see you guys.
Coming on with us.
Enjoy
thanks.
The rest of practice. You get to go out and catch the rest
I got to go get some sun.
There you go.
All right.
Kim Jones from NFL Network with us. Steve and I coming back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker. Bills continue their day 2 minicamp practice. When it's over, and it'll be over soon, we think, we're going to hear from Josh Allen, Bills quarterback. He will meet the media. We also have an appointment here with Bobby Johnson, the new offensive line coach, to join us here in studio. How about, look, I
come on, go ahead.
I know Mitch Morse is important. I know he's critical, a central part of what they're doing here this year. Is he the most? Are you the most excited to see him? I didn't think so. I kind of laughed it off a little bit in the first hour of the show, and then Kim Jones comes on. I'm excited to see Mitch Morse, a center. Really? What are you looking for? Clean exchange of the snap. A little bit of
yeah.
I get excited when the exchange goes well. Really? I don't know. I'm not. This is not against Kim. It's just, my point is, there's many more things to be excited about. John Brown, Cole Beasley. I can accept that. Maybe Devin Singletary gets you excited. Ed Oliver. You know, what does he look like? I think the center is way down on my list of things I'm most excited to watch. I said it there.
Okay.
Steve Ginnett.
I said Cole Beasley, so I said, you know, I some people, that was, I think more so than anything, when I saw that they signed Mitch Morse, first of all, at the top of it, I didn't even know who the guy was. I go, where'd he come? Who'd he play for? Then I found out he was given Pat Mahomes snaps last year when he threw for 5,079 yards, and he played the most prolific offense in the league last year, and he was the center guy in front of it, the kind of guy who's a first-year starter, and he's only 26. I was like, oh, man, he's way better than Paradis, the center from Denver we were all talking about.
Better signing, for sure.
Better signing. I was like, wow, that's genius. And then they signed him to he made him the highest paid center in the NFL history. I was like, oh, yeah. So many things about that struck me as unexpected and yet very pleasant, you know, in my what I felt about it.
Yeah, and it was all logical, too.
Struck a lot of chords with me. So I see that. And I think a lot of people are kind of on that same, you know, mind train where you're kind of headed down the tracks and you feel the plan and you go and you're with it. And when your team, particularly like Brandon Bean, when they do this stuff that's a little unexpected, but they find some guy you didn't know about that turns out to be, wow, he's better than the guy I'd even dreamed of. It just gives you so much affirmation about the direction the club's headed in. And I think Mitch Morse personifies that for a lot of people,
yeah,
at least for me.
I love that signing. I'm not most excited about that.
I know. You love the signing. I didn't even know who the guy was. I got to admit.
I love the signing. I'll tell you what, though. I've been kind of campaigning for John Brown for over a year. So when they signed him, how could I say anybody but him?
I got it. That's
true. And I think we almost are underestimating what he might mean to this offense. But we'll have to wait and see. No, really. We'll have to wait and see.
Nobody's underestimating. Just because they don't pick him doesn't mean they're underestimating him.
What new Bills offseason edition are you most excited to watch? That's the Twitter poll today.
Are you insulted that I didn't say John Brown?
No.
Instead of Cole Beasley?
No.
Seriously? You seem kind of
not insulted at all. The tweet sheet now brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills, from Swice as Nice.
I already read that one, didn't I?
From Adam.
Yeah.
Did you read Swice as Nice?
No, I did. I did. That's the one with all three running backs.
All right. From Adam. Man, I wouldn't sleep on Duke Williams. He's hungry. He's got drive. Wide receiver is a real competition this year. I think wide receiver is a competition for the maybe the bottom end of the depth chart, but I think you're right about that. And I agree with you. When I heard Chris Brown telling us about how strong Duke Williams has been and how many more reps he's getting, and yes, Zay Jones is a little bit banged up right now, I thought, yeah, that's a guy to watch. Duke Williams, a very, you know, not a rookie. He's had a rough start to his professional football career, had success in Canada, has the great size that you're kind of looking for in some spots, in some formulations of wide receiver play. I get it. I think Duke Williams is definitely a guy to keep an eye on, and I am excited about watching him for sure.
Well, let me just say this. Here's the reason I'm kind of way into Duke Williams. I'm just going to read you the you got a 5'8 guy, a 5'8 guy, a 5'11, 5'11, two six guys that are 6'2, a 5'9, a 5'8, a 6', a 5'11, a 6', and then you've got 6'3, 225. There's two guys that are 6'3 on this roster playing wide receiver. Duke Williams is one of them. He weighs 225, and David Sills is the other. He weighs 211. Duke Williams is the only guy that is, to me, physically different than the rest of these guys. That's why I think a lot of people, I agree with the tweet, I guess. Don't sleep on this guy. Because this, you never know, because we'll never know what the coaching staff is looking for, or what they see, or what they think about how their wide receiving core is constructed. But if they've got one guy on there who's a little bit different, who's productive, and who gives them a streak of nasty that Duke Williams seems to have, you know, in the stuff that I've heard about him and seen from him in Canada and from talking to him. And I told you this, Murph, I don't want to get too far down this rabbit hole I'm headed, but we got a lot of really sweetheart of a guy on this roster. Bunch of great guys. Bring them home to dinner. You love them and all that. But Duke Williams strikes me as a guy who's a stone-cold assassin.
Okay.
You need some guys with a mean streak in them that kind of set the emotional tone. Duke Williams is kind of one of those guys for me that – and I'm not saying there's nobody else out there that does that. There are. But in this wide receiver room, he seems like the guy who is the quintessential, you know, guy that slaps the DB's face and says, get off me, you know. A guy who's not intimidated, but in actuality, the DB's lining up saying, oh, my gosh, you know, I hope I don't look bad on this rep with this guy. He gives you that kind of attitude in his size, physical presence. A DB's not going to line up and say, okay, I'm going to manhandle this guy. He ain't going to do it. And I think, you know, something in me as a former player loves having guys like that on my team. So I think I like the Duke Williams, the tweet about Duke Williams from Adam about saying, hey, I'm intrigued. Don't sleep on him. If you look at him, that's kind of what I envision for him. Now, I could be completely wrong, but I don't think so.
Okay. Let me point this out to you, too, and I know we have a different opinion, I think, on Zay Jones. Zay Jones is 6'2". He's a big guy now, and he's bigger and thicker than he was, I think, in each of the last 2 years. I wouldn't sleep on Zay Jones either. But
well,
I'd look at him at the top of the wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't have a hard – I have a hard – and I'm with you. I know we've gone back and forth, and I've exaggerated my feelings about Zay Jones. I don't think Zay Jones is going anywhere.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think it's – like I said, it's a really – rough roster to make. And Duke Jones signed with the Bills before they signed Cole Beasley and Duke Williams. Duke Williams signed with the Bills long before they signed Cole Beasley and John Brown. And all of a sudden, Cole Beasley, John Brown, there's two roster spots, boom, gone. So now it does get tougher for Duke Williams to bust into that group, even, you know, with Zay Jones standing there, right? But if you're looking for what he does bring to the table, I think what I said about him is still kind of the way I feel.
We've gone through this exercise before with the wide receivers. John Brown, Cole Beasley, Robert Foster. Who am I missing? There's a fourth. I'm not calling people locks. Oh, Zay Jones.
Yes, hey.
John Brown, Cole Beasley, Robert Foster, Zay Jones. None of them are locks. All of them, in my mind, are likely to make the roster. So we're talking about one or two, and I think
two max.
Yeah, and somewhere in that group, you're going to have to
like an Andre Roberts,
squeeze
Roberts. He's a return guy,
right.
and this is where you start to get into the gray area of roster building. Is there going to be a corner or somebody who can return kicks? You know, one of those guys, a guy who's got some abilities, a skill set that brings you that, or one of the running backs or whoever. Somebody's got to do that, and. If you got a guy like Andre Roberts, who can do both kicks and punts, well, it's kind of hard to kick him to the curb.
Led the league last year in returns.
I know, right?
What are we talking about?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Which new offseason to the Bills are you most excited to watch? Jeremiah with a pretty good tweet from the tweet sheet. Jeremiah says, "Wow, this is a good one." That's a good way to get it read, by the way, Jeremiah. "Wow, this is a good one. There are so many, but if I can only choose one, I'd have to go with Ed Oliver. I think his production is going to have a ripple effect throughout the entire defense." Ed Oliver is a fine choice for being excited about an offseason addition. He is. And the opportunities, and I'm like a broken record now, the versatility that he presents, the opportunities he presents for Leslie Frazier to show different looks and put together different-looking pass rush without blitzing, but a different-looking pass rush with a four-man rush because of Ed Oliver's because of his talent, because of his speed is what I'm trying to say, and his quickness.
Yeah,
I think he opens up doors of possibility for what their pass rush might look like. I think that's a really fine choice to say that he'd be the one you're most excited to watch.
I think the thing that kind of excites me the most about that tweet is the last line, the ripple effect that he could have. And we all know what we're talking about. He goes in and gets a sack, or the next play, the quarterback tries to avoid him and throws a desperation throw, and all of a sudden it's going back the other way for a touchdown. And the cornerback will be dancing in the end zone, or the safety will be dancing in the end zone with a ball after a touchdown, and it'll be Ed Oliver's play that he made, at the other end of the pass. So that's the kind of ripple effect that kind of excites me for a guy like Ed Oliver, plus the fact that, he's one of those guys that all of a sudden he's got three tackles for loss in one game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where the running back jumps through and the guard has no chance of getting him. That's the fun part of thinking about what Ed Oliver could do, playing a position that, he was just cut out to play. It's going to be fun. going to be fun.
One more from the tweets.
All right,
you got that one?
Yeah, from Tiffany. Devin Singletary had an exciting, highlight-filled career at FAU. I'm looking forward to watching him bring his elusive running style to our offense. I feel by the end of the year, we're going to be thankful he wasn't drafted higher by another team. Round three gem. And I get that, too. You know, and here's the thing. He's been on our show. He came in studio
last week.
And I was shocked at how short he is. Mm-hmm. He's 5'8", right? He's shorter than me. And then you go to his combine. He doesn't run that fast, okay, and he doesn't lift that much weight, and he didn't catch the ball very much. He did carry it a lot and stuff. So you go YouTube or wherever you want to go and look at his highlight film, and you say, man, am I glad that we got that guy.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to see this. He's a gamer. He shows up when he has the ball in his hands. You know, you're better off, and that's the kind of guy that I think is really intriguing. I think it's a great call. Devin Singletary is a guy. You want to see if that translates to the next level, because it is a big jump. And physicality and your abilities do make a difference at the NFL level. But his ability to see things, and you watch his highlight tape, there's some times when a guy's got him, right? I mean, he's going to get tackled, and the guy doesn't even touch him. I mean, doesn't get a finger on him. It's like, oh.
The guy right in front of him.
It's, or right. Next to him, like, yeah. He's in the phone booth, yeah, with a guy, and a guy can't get a finger on him. It's,
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun, because you know this, too. Preseason's going to kick off, and Devin Singletary's going to get a lot of carries,
oh, yeah,
I think, right?
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun.
You got to see what they have. I got to say this, too. From a purely personal standpoint, all these offseason additions, you've mentioned it. Brownie talks about, what, half the team might be new from last year. As a play-by-play guy, this is a challenge. Seriously. I'm out there watching a little bit of practice or watching these highlights with my little roster card thinking, I'm going to have to know that in a couple months. I'm going to have to know that. Because usually you can count on knowing your own team, and you can learn this other team each week. But this is going to be a little different this summer, especially preseason. You got work to do. What do you just
in honor of your new grandchild, let me, yeah, just say, don't tell me about the pain. Just show me the baby.
Good one. That's really good. Here's a call from Mike in Brooklyn. Hello, Mike. You're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to take it a little different route and, yeah, go with Andre Roberts. And the reason being twofold, not just because we haven't had a return game since, I guess, Brandon Tate, and even that's a stretch. He's actually been pretty productive as a wideout when he's got targets. And since we're kind of going that route with John Brown, if you look at, like, and granted it's 2012, but he had over 100 targets and put up 800 yards, I just think he's not completely useless as a wide receiver, too.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I wouldn't think of him as useless at all.
It's that time of year when you got to look at everything the guy can do and bring it into the mix. You know, you're going to have to ask guys to do more than one thing. You know, there's only a handful of guys who aren't going to be asked to do something other than that one little thing that we've seen them do so well. A handful of guys maybe on both sides of the ball. But you look at it, you're going to have like 22 guys on the defensive side of the ball on the roster, 23 guys, 20, you know, that's not true, 24 guys maybe on one side of the ball, 24 guys on the offensive side of the ball. You got to fill it in, you know. And some of these guys are going to be big guys. Some of them are going to be athletes. And that mix is going to be really important. And he's right. Some of these guys have had some pretty good production outside of what they were brought here with, you know, thinking the bulk of their expectations were going to be.
Thanks for your call, Mike. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We are awaiting the end of practice. We'll hear from Josh Allen when practice is over. We're going to get Bobby Johnson, new offensive line coach, in studio with us. And coming up around 2 o'clock or so, Andrew Brandt, who talks about the business of football. We'll talk with him. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. From One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. So today's mandatory minicamp session is over. The Bills players and coaches coming off the field, and we got one of the coaches with us right here, right now. He is the offensive line coach for the Buffalo Bills. His second stint with the Buffalo Bills. Happy to have Coach Bobby Johnson with us. Hello, Coach. How are you?
I'm great. Glad to be here.
Last time I saw you was Senior Bowl. I think you just got hired that week, right?
It was about that week. I think I got hired and then drove through maybe a blizzard or something, and we flew down. So, I mean, it was a little bit of a whirlwind, but it was great.
It's great to have you here.
I got to ask you, too. I mean, it's been a rough stretch. You got a lot of guys hurt, and I was asking you during the break, you coached just one of your guys that you've had any experience with in this offensive line. You got like 13 guys in the room and one that you've had some experience with.
Right. John Feliciano and I were together during our three-year stretch in Oakland. During the same period of time, I had Lee Smith there. So he's one guy that I have a lot of familiarity with. Because having worked with him, having actually, you know, some interpersonal communication with the rest of the guys, it's all, you know, kind of a feeling out process, getting to know them. Obviously, I've gotten to know them a little bit during the free agency period when they visited, and now we're however many weeks into the off season, so I've kind of got a good feel for them as maybe their personality, but still starting to figure out what some of them can and can't do physically.
The big question is, how do you keep track of, especially with the guys in and out of the lineup? Mm-hmm. Do you have like a spreadsheet of like this guy's taking so many reps at right guard and not so many at left? And I mean, how do you keep track of that?
Yeah, you do that exactly what you said. You have a spreadsheet.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah, without a question. I mean, because here's the thing, it's a competition. Here's the thing, it's a competition. And we've been very upfront with every single guy from day one before they ever decided to join the team. This is a competition, everybody's going to get a fair shake. And in order to do that, you have to be literal.
Yeah.
Hey, I can't say you had a fair shake at left guard if you've had one guy's had 75 snaps, the other guy's got four. You know, so we do have a spreadsheet. Hey, this is how many times you've played here. Here's how many snaps you've taken every spot. Hey, how many times you did your assignment? How many times your technique was good and how many times it was bad? You know, how many penalties? All that thing. We keep that on a spreadsheet, and it's updated daily. Terry Heffernan, the assistant O-line coach, updates it. Matter of fact, we'll be doing it this afternoon.
Right.
Bobby Johnson, Bills O-line coach in studio with us. I was hoping, amateur that I am, that we would have an idea of who's lining up where at the end of this week before you get to camp. But was that unrealistic when you think about, well, the injuries obviously are a factor, but you don't work in pads out here. Maybe it's not realistic to think that way.
You can't, you know, etch anything in stone when you say you have a competition before you ever put the pads on, especially at this position. Right. You know, it's a physical position. It's the nature that we said we want to play with. In order to do that, you got to get to get an accurate picture of that. You got to put the pads on. You got to have some live periods. You got to see how guys, you know, strain physically, and that's going to happen in training camp. So nothing was going to be etched in stone. You'd like to get maybe a little bit of continuity, communication's sake, but most of it's now going to happen when we get to training camp.
All right. So say being an offensive line coach one year to the next, so level one being the easiest means you got the same five guys coming back and the same backups coming back, and it's 1 year to the next. You kind of keep rolling. Now, how is it? That degree of difficulty elevated when you got like maybe five new starters and no new faces coming back.
Right.
I mean, how many levels of difficulty is that raised?
I would say right now we're probably at a level six, and here's why. It's not like have zero idea who we have.
Right.
You know, a lot of these guys have a body of work. They have something you can look at and go, this is how this guy plays. Now, how they fit together is what we're trying to figure out.
Right.
And what is the best combination? Sometimes the five most talented guys might not be your best line. It's going to be your best five that work together, that work as one. So, you know, the good thing about it is I kind of know what their body of work is, and I know that there's competition. It makes it a little difficult that maybe some of those guys that I want to see paired up next to one another aren't there on a given day. So it makes it a little more difficult, but it's not like an extreme. It's not a dire situation whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So to be honest with you, I'm kind of excited because now there's going to be maybe the urgency level is going to be cranked up when we get to training camp.
Right.
So the guy might be like, man, I missed this time, so now I gotta ratchet up a little bit. I kind of like that. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little excited about that one.
Yeah,
Mitch Morse, you finished a couple of practices with him going full go this week. What do you see from him, and how critical is he to the overall picture of what you're trying to do up front?
No, he's the linchpin,
and
I told him that from day one. He has to be the leader out there when we get there. He's been everything I've thought. The good thing about him, just like any great player, he's his own worst critic. And by the time he gets to me when he's coming out, he's already I don't need to say anything that, you know, to inspire him. I don't need to say anything to make him realize that he knows what he did wrong. Now, I'll talk to him like, hey, here's what we got to do to fix this, or hey, think about this. It's a little bit. It's more of a like having a communication coordinator to quarterback when you're talking to the center, especially a guy that's at his level.
I don't know Mitch well, but my initial impression is he's very, very intelligent.
Extremely.
Yeah.
He's a good man. He's a good man. He's very intelligent. He approaches the game like a true pro, and that's what you really want. He is a true professional. He is every day working to make his craft at top level.
What do you think about the mix here with the new guys coming in? I know some of them are experienced, and then you've got a guy like Cody Ford who's brand new. You got to incorporate that, which is kind of something to do every year.
Yeah.
But how does that work, and what kind of progress can you tangibly see?
Well, the good, the positive is this: is there's a lot of guys, like I said, with body of work that are veterans. You have a guy like Cody, who's a complete rookie, who he's just trying to figure out sometimes, like, hey, which way am I going today? The good thing about it is he has some veterans to lean on, some veterans, and we have a good group of guys that they've kind of taken him under his wing, under their wings, where they can talk to him about, hey, you know, hey, slow down a little bit, just hey, handle A and B. We'll get to C later on. So I think that's helped him quite a bit, trying to acclimate, as opposed to maybe some guys who don't have that veteran experience, maybe a first or second year player. They're still trying to figure out what they're doing. It takes a couple years, you know, to truly get the ins and outs of this game at this level. So I think it's helping him. And I also know this: those veterans, they know it's important to have a guy playing next to him at a certain level. So they're invested too, and they see his ability. You know how it is as a veteran player. Mm-hmm. When you see a guy that has ability, you spend a little bit more time trying to help him because you know he can make the team better. He can make the group better.
With Bobby Johnson, the Bills offensive line coach, got a couple of minutes left. What, in your career, what did it mean for you to finally get a chance to be the guy, to be the offensive line coach? You've moved around a lot in the league, right? Detroit
I mean, it's been
Oakland
here and then Jacksonville, then Detroit, then Oakland, then Indy, then here. I wouldn't trade my experience in for the world. I would not be prepared for this job had one of those stops not happened. And it's not any one particular stop, but any of those stops. I'm extremely grateful. I'm humbled by it because there are a lot of really good coaches out there that haven't had this opportunity. But I'm also determined because there are a lot of coaches that are very capable that they get a chance and then they don't ever get a second chance.
Right.
I'm going to try to make this thing last as long as I possibly can. Right. So that way when the ride stops, I know I did everything in my power to make it a good run.
You've also coached some different positions. You coached tight ends and spots.
Yeah.
Now, offensive line, it's the only position or position group that is like five different players that are like called one thing. They're the O-line, right?
Yeah.
How does that change the dynamic for a coach trying to get five guys to play like one thing?
That's the beauty of the position. That's what makes it unique. That's what makes it so special is that you're literally, like you said, you can't say any better. You're trying to get five different heartbeats to beat like one. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people associate like, hey, five fingers independently aren't very special. They don't do a whole lot. They do kind of a little bit. But when you ball them all up together, they make a fist, and it's a powerful thing. And that's exactly what an O-line is. You have to approach each guy differently. That's just been a philosophy I've had throughout my career, regardless of the position. Is you coach each guy differently but fairly. You have to get to each guy differently. You can't yell at every single guy. Some guys don't respond to that. Some guys do. So the big thing is we talk about what's important to us, what our fundamentals are, what our principles are, what our standards are, and then you deal with each guy individually. But it's a challenge. Every day is a challenge.
I mean, you broke into the league with the Bills 2010 under then offensive line coach Joe D'Alessandro. I wonder, really, we talked about it before we went on the air, one of the good coaches and one of the great people in the league. What did you take from him? How important was he as far as a mentor for you in the NFL?
The one thing that I took away from Joe is because Joe's, like I said, a wonderful human being, really good coach. We come from similar backgrounds, being in the Midwest and old mill towns.
Where are you from, Akron?
I'm from Akron, Ohio, so all the rubber mills that were there from the tire companies. Yeah. The one thing is we're blue-collar people. And I always thought when you got to the NFL, it was always like, you kind of got to handle the guys kind of differently because they're pros. And Joe's like, no, we work. And we work until they blow the last whistle and then everybody walks out, as he called them, the white stripes. So the one thing I do know is this: we're going to work when we go on the field. And that's one thing that I took away from him, that, hey, players want to be coached. They want to be better. And the only way to do that is work hard. Work hard. And if that doesn't work, work harder. And that's something I've taken with me every stop in this league is I got to work hard. Got to work the players hard. And they appreciate it.
So you've been at different things. And I know that I tell all my old teammates who are like Frank Reich.
Yeah.
I tell them, listen, you signed up for it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're signed up for this coaching thing. You're going to bounce around a little bit. So you've bounced here your second time.
Yep.
And after all the experiences you've had, is there something special about Buffalo and this particular program, this version of the Buffalo Bills, that makes you excited?
Very much so. I mean, just Buffalo in general is a very special place. When I first got here the first time, it was like I had kind of a perception of what the NFL life would be like. And to be honest with you, some of it was a little bit of a turnoff to me. Got here and I was like, it can be like this. you know, kind of a small town feel, but with an NFL team. It's always held a special place in my heart because it's a lot like my hometown. I feel like the people, the right. fans. I can tell you this, after bouncing around teams, they're Bills Mafia and the Bills fans, I mean, they're as good as they get. And I've been around with some good ones. So people out there listening, if you're a different fan base, I'm sorry. It's just the truth. And coming back, just to see the things that the Pegulas have done and how the fans are still rallying behind the team, I'm just excited to be a part of it. You know, and that makes me every day when I get up want to put my best foot forward and give my best effort so that the people who have supported throughout get rewarded.
Got some downtime coming up after tomorrow. You going to take advantage of that?
A little bit. I got some daughters and a family that I got to catch up with. So, I mean, my oldest daughter's here at practice today, and she just finished her sophomore year in college. So, I mean, try to catch up with them because, as you know, when you're a parent, you kind of, especially in this profession, you miss a lot.
Yeah.
And over the last 5 years, I've missed a lot. And I'm just looking forward to catching up and trying to, as they call what is it, a re-entry into normal society for a little bit.
for a week or two.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because I agree that you do miss a lot, and but I hope your family at the end of this season says, wow, it was all worth it.
I tell you what, last year we went through a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for my year in Indy, but I'm excited about this one, and I know they're excited we're here. Matter of fact, they're catching up with old friends. And,
sure.
You know, my oldest daughter was with her best friend from our neighborhood when we were here last. Right. So I'm excited for that, and I'm really appreciative.
It's great to have you here, Coach. Thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Bobby Johnson is the offensive line coach for the Bills. Steve and I coming back. Another hour to go. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.